There's a voice that is calling to thee, and it plays with its tenderest tone. Whilst it bids thee from God's wrath to flee, and whisper to Jesus, now come. Blessed God, we look up to Thee tonight, thanking Thee this hour to God of all. I was thinking a little tonight of voices. A couple weekends ago, we went to a wedding. And the groom's parents are both deaf. And many of their friends are deaf. So during the wedding, there was an interpreter listening to the words that were being said and signing what was being said. Signing it. Because they could not hear with the natural ears. could not hear a voice. Some here had the privilege of being at that wedding, and it was touching, quite touching, to hear them say words out loud as well as see the signs that met what the words said. But I was thinking of her voice. I think most everyone in this room can hear. Some of us probably used to hear better than we do now, but most everyone here can hear. We sang, "There's a voice that is calling to thee." Lots of voices. So we'll look at a few. I was thinking of the voice of the Son of God, the voice of hell. This is quite a contrast, isn't it? And the voice in the wilderness. Let's look first at the voice in the wilderness. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. In verse 22, they asked John, "Who art thou?" That we may give an answer to them that sent us. "What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." Why was he out in the wilderness saying something like this? You know, because men's hearts are fallen and sinful. Man likes to have glory apart from God. This afternoon, we heard a little bit from the book of Habakkuk about the Chaldeans, Babylon, there was an ancient Babylon, and that city was not to be built again. There's a permanently Babylon, but Babylon never has a good connotation in the Word of God. Let's look at Revelation. Chapter 18. "After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, 'Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies.' And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, For her sins have reached up unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and a no widow, and I shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Powerful words, aren't they? Voices of angels, a voice from heaven that says, come out of her, come out of her. Awesome. It goes on to list her merchandise in verse 12 and 13. And the end of verse 13 reads, and slaves and souls of men. She glorified herself. She lived deliciously. A false thing. Glory without God. This world says, come on, boys. Play ball with us. You're really good. Go to the top of the team. Play at school. Raise the school name. Go to college. Play at college. Raise the college name. You see all these academics, academia, the teachers writing on this, the coaches, getting a name for themselves off of the strength of many young people. What for? There is a voice that is calling you. Please entertain yourself. Flee God's wrath. Flee God's wrath. This voice is going to come out of heaven in a day yet to come. Babylon. Awful, isn't it? Let's look at a voice from hell. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. You know, this world wants its own glory, and they want it apart from God. And they want your soul. They will sell your soul. And if you give it, you can have its glory. But its glory is short-lived. There was John in the wilderness. He didn't have normal clothes. He had a voice that was ringing for God. And that voice called for repentance. And tonight, God calls for repentance. Praise the Lord for everyone in this room who's repented before God and forsaken their sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus. But think of this, verse 4. Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. You see, ancient Babylon seemed to him. It had a glory. We read something about it this afternoon. How it just devoured nations. Remember reading in history about Alexander the Great? Was it he that sat down and cried that there were no more countries to conquer? Died very young. Short glory. short glory. Verse 5, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none injured. God brought down ancient Babylon. He's going to bring down modern Babylon. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Oh, see how fallen Babylon is? It even moved hell. Even all the chief ones of the earth, it stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. You see, all these men that were kings on earth, they had a temporary glory, and now the king of Babylon's going there too. What's it say in Daniel? It says, that night, there was a handwriting on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Weighed, weighed, numbered, and divided. Daniel comes in and interprets it. He's not at their party. This world says, come to our party. We're going to have a blast. Daniel wasn't at their party. Belshazzar called for those golden vessels of the house of the Lord. He says, bring them in. We'll praise the God of silver and gold and wood and earth and stone. But that night, that finger on the wall. Nobody there can interpret it. But the queen mother, she isn't at the party either. She hears about it and she says, there's somebody in your kingdom that can interpret that. We have to call for Daniel. He comes in, he says, numbered, numbered, weighed and divided. You're weighed in the balances and found wanting. What's it say? That night, they entered the city and took the city and slayed Belshazzar. King of Babylon, here, what's it say? The whole earth is at rest. Not troubling the nations anymore. Even the trees are rejoicing. But hell from beneath is moved. And all the dead former glorying men in the earth, even all the chief ones of the earth, verse 9, it hath raised them up from their thrones, all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? How long did the glory last? Pretty short time, really. You know, God used Babylon as a scourge against his people Israel. He used Assyria the same way, but he held them accountable for how they treated his people. And God's going to hold this world accountable for how it treats his people. He's trusted in Jesus. Think they're getting by with something. Their merchandise is the slaves and souls of men. You want to be identified with that? Here's a voice from hell that says to these men that had former earthly glory, are you become like this? And into the same grave, awaiting the judgment of God. Awful. Awful. Just a moment's glory. And then wait eternal death. You don't want that. You don't want that. So there's the voice of angels in Revelation, speaking of the Babylon that's in our day, this world and its glory, the false church too, the mother of harlots, unfaithfulness to Christ, and heaven's voice speaks out against it. John's voice speaks, repent, the king is coming. And some in Israel tonight it's the same before God. Repent. Repent. What about those sins? God requireth that which is past. The scripture tells us, the soul that sinneth it shall die. Is there anyone here that can say, I have never sinned? Can you say that before God? You cannot say that. You know you have sinned before God. But oh, there's another voice. Let's look in John chapter 12. Well, first, let's look in Luke 23. We had this verse before us, chapter 23, verse 39. This is the scene of Calvary's cross. The blessed man that was sent down by God, the Lord Jesus, is hanging there on the cross. Your debt and my debt were so great before God, we could never bear our own sins. We're too impure, lost, guilty, in need of repentance, in need of a substitute. Here the Lord Jesus is lifted up on that cross. But on either side hangs a malefactor, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly? For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Dost not thou fear God? Don't you fear God? Here's the Son of God lifted up between these two men, and they're on either side, and they're talking on the cross. Here is a voice of the conscience. The one man's conscience seems to be hardened, unreachable. But the other man's conscience tells him something. I deserve this. I deserve this. But that man in the middle, he doesn't deserve it at all. The voice of the conscience. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What would you like to be hanging on a cross? Your conscience telling you, I deserve this. But then there's a man in the middle. But your conscience tells you, he has never done anything wrong. And then your ear hears him say, I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, what a voice that is. A voice that answers the voice of the conscience. Have you said before God, I have sinned? You know, the prodigal in returning said, Father, I have sinned before heaven and against thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He got no further. Father's heart burst open. How he felt about it. Bring forth the best robe and put it on us. Ring on his hand. Sandals on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Let us make merry. Why? The conscience had been at work. The confession had been made. And the Father could display his heart. Let's look at John chapter 11. Here we are at Lazarus' grave. There, in that grave, with a stone rolled to the door, lies a man all wrapped up in cloth. He's totally wrapped up. He's embalmed. And he's been in there for 4 days. Death. How awful is death? We read about the king of Babylon, about the worms beneath him and the worms in him. That's what happens when you die. We've seen dead animals and the worms crawling in them. You know, this old flesh don't last long once you die. But the most important thing is, we're not animals. We have an eternal soul. Immortal soul. That soul will live forever and ever and ever and ever. And it'll either spend eternity in heaven with the blessed Lord Jesus in the glory of God, or he will spend eternity in hell. Jesus comes after Lazarus has died. Verse 20, and then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which is come into the world. Oh, what a wonderful thing to find out that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. What a wonderful thing to have divine life. What a comfort to those of us who have laid our loved ones in the grave and we know that they have trusted in Jesus. Because they shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That the grave is not going to hold them. But then there is this fact that if you're lost in your sins, you're dead. And you need to hear his voice. Verse 34. So verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Are you lifeless before God tonight? Dead, trespasses and sins? Maybe you're a parent and you have reason to believe that about you. Where have you laid him? You have to bring him there, don't you? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. We read in, what did we read in John 1? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Here's the one in whom is life, standing at the grave of a dead man. In him is life. Think that grave can hold him? In him is life. Wonderful thing to say of Jesus, isn't it? In him is life. Oh, what a person came into our world. I am come that they might have life. Have it more abundantly. Jesus wept. Full of life and light. He's surrounded by weeping people under the power of death. Just like a deep, dark cloud hanging over them. Because Lazarus has died. And there stands one in whom is life. Marvelous voice that's going to speak. And the Jews said, behold how he loved him. And others said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, comes to the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. There's something between this soul and the Lord. Maybe you cried to the Lord as a parent and you say, oh Lord, I want my little boy, my little girl to be saved. But something seems to be hindering. You'd like to hear a clearer confession maybe, but... Verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Well, that takes dependence and wisdom from God, doesn't it? Whatever's hindering, it's our responsibility. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he thinketh we've been there, been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? God is still glorifying himself today in saving dead souls from a lost eternity. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe thou hast sent me. Isn't that a marvelous word? Because of the people that stand by. Oh, this one who came to bring us life, who is life, who is the Word of God, who brought grace and truth. He wants the people to know the Father hears from them. He says it out loud. What he could have said just in his soul. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Imagine a dead man responding to the voice of anyone. Kind of beyond us, isn't it? But here is God's account. The voice of the Son of God. And he that was dead came forth bound. He didn't walk out of there. He just came out of there. Why? The Creator stood before the grave. He can call up fishes with coins in their mouth. He can fill nets on the right side of the ship. All kinds of things. And there he stands. The dead come forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin, and Jesus said unto them, loose him, and let him go. What a story it is. Think of the voice that stood at that grave. Maybe you say, well, I feel pretty alive tonight. I don't feel any worms crawling inside. But if you don't know Jesus, he's there. He is still. If you do know Jesus, how wonderful that is. If you've heard his voice, may you hear the voice of the Son of God shall live. Isn't that marvelous? Oh, you couldn't have a better life than the life you get from God. New life in Christ. What a voice is the voice of the Son of God. Loose him and let him go. Well, we had before us this morning also in Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Marvelous, isn't it? A voice is calling a man on earth, because I'm going to show you something. Then we went to a verse that speaks, verse 6, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. We turn to Zechariah and it says, what are these wounds in my head? You know, there's a reason for all the careful words of Scripture. There's a very great reason. Get this point. Doesn't say, what are these scars in your hands? This doesn't say, it says a lamb as it had been slain, fresh. Scars are healed wounds. Wounds are not scars. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. 2 days ago, Jesus was crucified, as far as God's concerned. Pretty fresh. The issues between what this world wants in its glory and what God's going to have to His glory are very diverse, diametrically opposed. This world says, come, young man, I want to take your strength, your brain, your glory, and glorify myself without God. God says, my son, give me thy heart. You don't want to be someone that rises in the glory of this world, and then your glory is chopped off, and hell says, are you come to be like us? Awful, isn't it? Mr. Nixon died recently. I don't know whether the man knew the Lord. I'm thankful I can trust God about that. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? But I do know that that man once stood in one of the greatest political positions of the earth. One of them. Has hell opened its mouth now and the kings that are dead said, are you come to be like us? How short is his glory. The earth, we've been here about 2,000 years since Christ. It's going to be another 1,000-year reign, that's 3,000. There were 4,000 years before that, that's 7,000. That's 7,000 years. If you're 70 years old, what's that mean? What's 70 times 100? 7,000, isn't it? Do you ever think you've been here, some of you older ones, 1/100th of the earth's history is made on it? 1/100th. Yet in that brief span we call life, there are all kinds of voices. But there's one voice you dare not hear. There's a voice that it's calling to you and it pleads in its tenderest tone. Sinner, hear and obey. It's the voice of the Spirit of Christ. While he strives, yield to him. Do not quench the convictions that rise. Babylon will holler out its glory. Men will build. They will do all kinds of things right up to the judgment moment like they did in Noah's day. Right up to the judgment moment like they did in Lot's day. Don't let the whir and all these other voices prevent you from hearing the voice of the Son of God. Is that voice, if you're here 70 years or more, that little span called life prepares you for an eternity somewhere. And the one who created you, brought you into this world, gave you breath, sustained these breaths, he's called. Wisdom cries out to the simple. Come, O ye simple ones. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Like John, the faithful prophet, says, repent. Make straight the path of the Lord. He wanted to prepare a people for the Lord to come and set up the kingdom. God is now calling out a people to the name of the Lord Jesus. One man to die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. In Genesis it says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Marvelous. One man God delights to exalt And that man, as he hung on the cross, beside him hung a man who heard the voice of conscience. My ways have got me into this. I deserve it. But he looked into the midst, and the man didn't deserve it. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And tonight, if you realize you're a lost sinner, that you deserve judgment, look to that man on that center cross. Realize you deserve judgment, but he didn't deserve it. He's there as a substitute for you. He suffers at the hands of God, at the wrath of God, for my sin. And you take him and say, oh Lord Jesus, there on the cross, thou hast suffered for my sin. I take him as my Savior. Oh, it's fresh with God. 2 days ago, Jesus was slain. The wounds are fresh. From very heaven, he beckons you. Saul of Tarsus on the road, he's fallen down in that great light, he said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. A voice coming out of heaven from the ascended Lord. And that voice calls tonight, come unto me. Live. Let's look at Revelation chapter 22. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Behold, I come quickly, quickly. The Lord Jesus comes tonight. Are you ready? Have you heard his voice? And say, yes, he hung there on the cross in my place. My sins were bore by him on Calvary's cross, and therefore I go free. Verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. For there's the voice of the Son of God. There's the voice of the Spirit. And there's the voice of the Church. All speaking. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, this is a dead world. Its glory is short-lived. There's many worried about economic situation, how it can last another 2 years. They'll have a cure. The mark of the beast is coming soon. But sooner still, Jesus. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, a voice. If you've got divine life within, you're going to hear it, even if you're stone deaf. Because the heart can hear that one. Marvelous voice of the Son of God. But meantime, these voices sing, Come. Come. Drink. It's free. You know when this earth gives you a little glory, they make you pay for every bit of it. If you don't pay for it with money, you'll pay for it with your soul. Verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Back a few chapters, we get this wonderful verse that says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Or the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. This says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. 2 days ago he was crucified. He's not in a hurry. You got a few years on this earth? Doesn't it make you rejoice that you're prepared for heaven in just a short time? Those of us that have life, don't we just rejoice? We're going to hear that shout and we're going to be gone. And oh, the sins of this earth is going to go through that. It's going to be terrible. Just terrible, such as has never seen before. Hailstones that weigh 64 pounds apiece. Back in the Old Testament, there was a time when the enemies of Israel were chasing them, and the Lord was fighting for Israel out of heaven, and he put hail on them. And he killed more than Israel killed. You know, when God sends direct judgments on the earth, it's going to be terrible, but all that get judged by those judgments have yet, after that, to be cast into the lake of fire forever. How awful! If you and I seek the glory of this world and listen to its voices and hear hell saying, art thou come to be like us? Awful. Dreadful. When you add that sweet voice of mercy sounding in your ear, come, come, drink, take freely. Behold, I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You see your Lord tonight. Thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Oh, what a wonderful, simple word it is. May we hear his voice. There's no voice like his. That's something else out of the hymn when I was thinking of it in here.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily.
God, our Father.